You're listening to the Riverfront Church broadcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
So tonight at the Think and Drink, we are talking about the book of Romans. We were really slowing down a little bit on the text, really examining the things that we think we know, the things we think we don't know, and challenging some of those verses that we may have heard in a million different contexts. And so it was a little bit different than normal, a little bit more suitable for work. So if you're listening to this podcast, maybe tonight you won't need headphones. I don't know. We don't know. Which one of my friends here gathered in this space would like to share their learnings first? I think Pastor Edwin would love to.
Absolutely. I just want to praise God, a little praise report. Brrr! Because the question, what did the Romans ever do for us, never came up in this entire discussion, which I just find impressive. That's one thing. The other thing I just wanted to say was, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. And as we share and hear all the takeaways from all sorts of folks. So, Damon, what have you got for us?
Oh, well, thank you, Pastor. And so what did I get from tonight? We started talking about truth. And it was a lot of good things that came out of it. But the how Paul kind of explained it was that there's like three primary messages in truth. And there was the creation, scripture, and then there's personal experience, which I look at as like being testimony, you know, and that's really like where the truth comes for you, because you can doubt a lot of different theories, but you can't doubt another person's experience, because that's their experience, and that's something how God has actually touched them in a certain way. And for me, that really leads into faith, because a lot of times my faith is built on looking back at my testimony and seeing how God has touched me and how it has actually saved me, and that's that faith that he was talking about. And, you know, it was just a lot of really deep discussions tonight on the different views, and there were a lot of, like, big words, with like, 3-4-syllable words that were used that were
super
just... So it was really educational for me to really hear how different... groups, religious groups, view salvation, faith, grace, mercy. These were like terms that I've only heard one definition, but to be in a room for people that had other experiences and other information on it, it broadened the whole definition for me, where it wasn't just grace was just this one box that I always looked at. It opened up to more. You know, like grace was so deep that it's boundless, and it just looks like so much more. And the big thing that I'm going to take away from today, and it's so simple, but it just kind of like it was that there's an eye in the middle of sin. And that for me, that's really like that almost should be like a T-shirt, because I think that's for everyone. And that was one of the things we talked about. It wasn't just like that group over there sinned, where they were talking about, you know, that group was uncircumcised and they were full of sin and they were dirty. And we talked about that. It wasn't just that. It was just that every single I has sin. And it's only through the grace and mercy of God that we are able to have this new life and this new blessing. So I am taking away that this week, because that was my wow moment. So thanks.
I haven't been here in a couple weeks, and I felt like I walked into one of the episodes of Star Wars before I saw the other ones. And, so I was kind of... I felt like I was behind, you know, like I was in college and having skipped high school, which is pretty much what I did, and just sitting there, did you guys learn this in English? And so that's kind of how I felt throughout the evening. I'm hoping that as I contemplate what was said, some of it comes back to me and hits me in a wave that I understand. I did I did enjoy or understand or whatever. Like, I was very interested in the fact that we do have to read it all, you know. I did that. That sticks with me for some reason. So I guess I will go read it, and then maybe I will have a comment in the future as to what I got out of it. Because right now, I would have to say confusion, if I had to put it in one word, or overwhelmed, maybe. And I don't really like that feeling, so I will work on coming out the other end and maybe discuss with you folks in a, to get more out of it and get a better understanding, which is what the whole deal's about for me anyway. Yeah. So, thank you.
I love that word, overwhelmed, because that's a big takeaway. Overwhelmed by grace. Sometimes when we, the theology, the academic stuff, if you dwell on this for so long, I mean, there are entire denominations and history of debates regarding when does regeneration start? What is justification? You know, when is and you forget, guys, grace. grace is overwhelming. And yes, if out of joy you see faith seeking understanding, right? If you try to understand, yeah, so what? How does justification play with sanctification and regeneration and rebirth and the Holy Spirit and being made holy and set apart? And how does that all work together? Great, do it out of joy. But if it's like, no, it starts here and ends there, then you're missing the joy and you're missing the opportunity to be overwhelmed by grace. You should feel overwhelmed by grace. It is overwhelming. I'm thankful for it.
So I got a lot out of this. Now, Romans is one of those books where you read a verse and you just sit there and like, oh my God, how am I ever going to figure that one out? And what did they really mean? And what do they really mean? And, you know, then you get the, well, I'm saved, you're not saved, but I'm saved if I do this, that, or the other. And I've been to so many, or heard so many different messages on what it means to be saved. And things I got tonight from just the few verses we touched on is, whether, you know, we think we're saved or not, or what do you have to do, you know, jump in the water, don't jump in the water, you know, shout three times or whatever rule or regulation someone puts on it. I think what we got tonight from our discussions is it's kind of about the experience. We talked about, you know, we've all sinned, we've fallen short. So we know we're all sinners. We all know we need something. But it was shared that salvation is something we experience, we do not possess. And that was after we read Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we experience it. So it's an experience. It's not a, you know, an instant thing that just happens. It's an experience. And then we went on to talk about sanctification and how it's the process of us being freed from sin and being made more into something in the image of God. And it's really about the process. And also what I really liked is we talked about, you know, we're saved. Okay, so I'm saved. Now what? I got my free gold ticket to heaven. No, you're saved for something. You're saved for a purpose, you know. You know, we may have gotten this inheritance because now we, you know, we are God's chosen people. We have inherited, you know, the right to be in his family. But with that inheritance comes different things. We get citizenship, a job to do, relationships with others. It can't be earned. It's given to us, but it comes with a great responsibility. And that's kind of what I got out of that is really are saved for a purpose. You know, everybody has a different purpose, but now you've got this job to do, and you need to do it. And like the one verse that I really love, it says, and I can't quote exactly, but God will fulfill his purpose in me. And I think that's what we're saved for. We're saved for the purpose that God's trying to fulfill within each one of us. And I think that's important to know that it's the process. It's all about the process.
So, yeah, trust the process.
I was saying trust the process.
Philadelphia 76ers, everybody. Yeah.
So one of the things that I was thinking about tonight is kind of the discussion that we were having, one of the little side things about who actually kind of killed Jesus, that we got on a little side train. And it was really interesting because I know some of the background life stories of some of the people that were arguing about the different, like, was it the people, was it the government, blah, 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 blah. And I love that about this Bible study is that you bring all of who you are and we're not afraid to say, hey, wait, actually, no, I think blah, 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 or I am confused, or I don't know, or I've heard it this way or that way. So I think that's one of the really good things that I see about this Bible study is people bring themselves to it. So transitioning out of that, Ken, did you have something you wanted to share tonight?
Well, I just wanted to say, we also feel so good about completely disagreeing with Ken. I mean, that's really
that's
good.
The added bonus.
I'm just kidding. I'm teasing Ken. You can
no, you're not.
The other thing I just wanted to add is if you're out there and, you know, you've heard different meanings of salvation and what that is, we'd love to hear from you. If you have some comments or messages you'd like to send our way, we'd love to engage in dialogue. We see it as a dialogue. If salvation is, we were talking about this just as in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and ascension and his promise to return, that if those things are cosmic level events and promises, that they would have several layers of meaning. And so in a similar sense, so does salvation. For Paul, it also involves creation. We'll get to that later. But it involves creation. It involves our own regeneration. So salvation. So in other words, I'm challenging you, if you have a very simple version of what salvation is, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just saying, you know, try to revisit and perhaps dwell, contemplate on ways that there's a depth to that salvation. Wrestle with that meaning, you know, and do it in community. Don't do it alone. Ken kept referencing that, you know, it's not just individuals, it's y'all that Paul is writing to, you all as a community. So that's really important. The other thing I wanted to say just to lift up, because we have different faith tradition and really faith heritages represented in this room, is that, you know, Methodists, Catholics, and some forms of Pentecostals see sanctification as a process that can, because I just want to represent it fairly, that can occur before death. So it doesn't have to be a process. It can actually be instantaneous. So if you're a listener that's like, wait a minute, I always taught that you can be instantly sanctified. There are groups, like I said, Methodists, Catholics, some Arminians, and some Pentecostals do believe you can be sanctified. That, and what they mean by that is perfected in love, meaning you love God perfectly with your whole mind, heart, soul, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. There are others, like the Reformed tradition, that don't believe that that's possible before death. So that's just, in case that was confusing at all to you, just know that there is that tension within the Christian family as to whether you can be sanctified before death, and so I just wanted to lift that up.
I'll just say once again, he doesn't want to be referred to as a teacher, a leader, a provocateur, I guess. Alan just brings so much to this that's worth, you come in and you think, okay, I have a grasp on Scripture. And, you know, Alan comes in and says, no, let's dig a little deeper and go a little further and bring in different questions that, quite frankly, you know, never would have thought to ask in the first place, but also different ideas, different concepts, digging into the language and the culture and the history. I'm just weakly blown away by what he brings to the table. So
his fearlessness, even to be wrong, is to be admired. But that's just totally kidding. His fierceness in the faith, which is a gift of grace, we're thankful for his leadership. So thankful, brother. And we hope you will join us next time at the Think and Drink Bible Study at 5:05 p.m. where we have some food and we join in some fellowship and we learn more about our faith.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Riverfront Church Broadcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook, just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.